Eric, if you want to preach, I can sit down if you want to do your thing. Sure don't want to fight my son for who gets up here. Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be together today, and I'm very thankful just to be here. Thank you for those that led us in worship. We obviously give glory to the one that we worship. And thank you, Ryan, as well, for being here early and being a blessing. We really appreciate that, appreciate everything. I know my heart's been touched already. I almost feel like we've had enough for one day, but you know what? We'll maybe share your message. I'll try to not be long and keep you long today, but felt like God had laid something on my heart. It was kind of, I don't think I shared in front here for about 6 weeks, and so I had a lot of time to think about that. Originally going to share around Easter, and then I had something on my heart, and then that kind of changed, and so I kind of kept getting this thing from speaking about godly communication, because I believe it's so important in the world that we live in that we learn to communicate and communicate well. And before we do that, maybe if I could ask you all to stand one more time, and we'll pray together. I'll see what the Lord has for us. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being here this morning. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. And we are thankful for the freedom that we have in this country and in this place to worship you, to lift our hands and acknowledge that you are God, you are supreme, you're all-knowing, all-powerful, Lord. And we invite you to just continue to be here with us, Lord. Bless us with the Holy Spirit's presence. Teach us, Lord, and help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to all of you. It's a special blessing to have so many here today. We have visitors here from Plains, Montana, and we welcome you guys, to be here. We've been down in Plains. Haven't been there that much recently, but over the years, I've been to Plains many times. Back way, way back when the Bontriggers were trying to get y'all's church off the ground. They didn't really have much for preachers, so we were down there a lot. And so anyway, welcome to all of you that are here today. We're blessed to have everybody that is in this place, and you are special. And I think we've even got some Roman Kaufman grandchildren here from New York. Welcome to you too. So yes, what a blessing it is to be together. And I've just been so especially blessed. There's something about, like, when these spring days come in and this warm weather hits you, it is just hard not to be thankful to the Lord, is it not? Like a new beginning, new life, and things are springing up, and grass is green, and it's warm, and it's so nice. And yesterday we were blessed to be together at an auction, and you say, how does this fit in a sermon? Well, it's just, I love the way that so many people can come together and have such a sweet time together. It's truly more than being there selling stuff and buying stuff, and I was amazingly blessed yesterday. I have a buying problem, and I made it out of there with just 2 pecan pies, and so it was a really good day for me. That's a miracle. I think Gloria took my fever, and I did not have fever, so yeah, that was a wonderful day. Anyway, I'd like to speak about communication, because I think communication among people is part of the beauty of God's creation. You think about it, like all the other species that are alive, basically they bark, they meow, they do funny little dumb things to communicate. They do communicate, but God gave us an ability to speak. Isn't that amazing? Are you glad that we're not just here this morning and grunting, trying to make songs of worship and praise by some kind of, you know, guttural sound or whatever? But God gave us an alphabet. You can put words together, you can write stuff, and you can communicate. I love that. I think that, I was just thinking about that. That is so incredible. And when we hear our dogs, all they do is the same old dumb thing. Makes me mad sometimes. It's like you're just, and I know they're probably communicating in their own way, but God gave you and I the ability to look each other in the eye and express ourselves. And there's many different ways that that happens. One way is to speak, but there's other ways to speak. Who has a different way that we can speak? Elliot, since you won the most sponsors, I thought maybe you should work for Josh's campaign, since you're such a good fundraiser. But how is another way that you can communicate how you feel without speaking? Try smiling. tells me you're happy. Give me a frown. Well, yep, he looks mad. So you can communicate by frowning, smiling. There's body language. There's a lot of different things. Thanks for letting me pick on you, Elliot. Good job on, I know next year when it's readathon, people see you coming, they're probably going to slip out the back. Anyway, good job to the young people for raising over $2,000 to take the gospel to prison. That's wonderful, and bless you for doing that. Anyways, there's many different ways to communicate, but God gave us a beautiful way, and it's so, so large. Recently, the thing that kind of struck me that it kind of made me really sad. I have two clients that I dealt with, and both of these clients had daughters. Now, mind you, they had one daughter for a child. I don't think the one even knew where she lived, and the other one didn't even know if his daughter ever had a baby. So he didn't even know if he was a grandpa or not. I just thought, that is the saddest thing I have ever heard, that you've got one child and you don't talk to them and you don't know where they live and you don't even know if you're a grandpa. I've got two grandsons, and as most of you know, I adore them, and I can't even imagine that they would exist and I wouldn't know it. That is really sad. But what's the problem? They are not communicating. They won't talk. I mean, I tried to wrap my mind around that, and I can, honestly. I cannot do that. I mean, my children and I, we fight sometimes, and whatever, we have differences, but at the end of the day, we come together, and we talk, and we love each other, and we work together for the common good. We work through those things, and that's so huge. But the need is huge, and it's just sad when we consider those situations, and you know that in those situations, there's pain involved. There's pain. It's sadness, you know, and if all these things could be, if you would just communicate, I think these walls could be broken down. And so we want to look at some of those things, and I want to get a little passage of scripture. In fact, I think I'm going to cut this just a little bit shorter than I was going to for sake of time, but it says in 1 Corinthians 14, he starts in there, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And then he goes on talking about speaking in tongues and how that is. And, you know, he says how he edifieth the church and he'd rather they all spake in tongues. But then he says, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues. But I want to just go down to verse 8 is kind of where, verse 7 and 8. And it says, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Like, so when there's a battle cry, beloved, there's a battle cry, there's a call to arms, there's a call for God's children to go out. If the sound isn't clear, how are you going to know what to do? And the same way when we try to communicate and we don't give a clear sound, a clear voice, how do our children know what to do, what's ahead? And so I think that if there's ever a time when we need clear communication and a distinct sound for the children of God, it's today. We can't be like, oh, I don't know, you know, not knowing for sure where we stand. Maybe the wind blows this way today. I'm saying this today, and tomorrow the wind's blowing the other way, and all this stuff. And we have to give a clear, distinct sound, a call to battle today, a call to unity, a call to peace for God's children. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Now, I'm not very educated in the things of war, but I would like to think back when it was hand-to-hand combat, there was a signal. And somebody said, charge. I don't know if they used the trumpet. I don't know if they blew horns. I don't know. Did they just yell, charge? But they had a clear sound for the call to battle, didn't they? It wasn't like, this today and that tomorrow. There was a clear sound. There was something that they knew. Now is the time. They knew. Do we know today what our call is to battle? There's different ways of communication, like we said. One of the problems is we don't maybe communicate at all. We just, like, well, you know what, it's kind of pointless. We've tried and forget it. Another way we communicate is poorly. And then there's also God's heart, and that is that we communicate clearly and well. Some of you do that really well. Some of us, not so well. But Proverbs 18:21 says that there's death and life in the power of the tongue. So you have an opportunity to use your tongue, your communication, to give life. Sometimes it is used the opposite, and it communicates death. We as the children of God are called to shine as lights in this generation and to communicate life. That is the power that we have with our tongue in Jesus Christ. So first I want to take a look at, you know, poor communication, and that's kind of the downer of the subject, but let's look at that. Who likes to receive the silent treatment? Who likes to know that there's a problem in a relationship and you just get no communication? I don't like that. I'm kind of one of those guys that if there's stress there, there's strain there, I kind of like to talk about it because it bothers me when I really don't know what the other is thinking. That kind of bothers me. It's a struggle that I have to just let that go. So I don't like the silent treatment. You know, that trumpet give an uncertain sound. Who shall prepare himself to battle? You know, how about us dads? You know, do we communicate clearly to our children what our wishes are? You know, maybe the child will ask us for permission of something and we don't really want it, but we're not really sure that we want to just say no. And so we mumble around and we kind of let them go. And then later we're kind of mad at our decision. And then we kind of grumble that they went and, you know, just like not real clear. I think our children want decisive, clear answers. They want to know that a dad has principles, that he stands for things. And that we're clear. Be clear. Another way to poor communicate is being a growling parent. We get busy, we get frustrated, and sometimes we get mad. Sometimes it would be wise to just stop and think and pray before we answer. Stop and think and pray. Because if you communicate an angry, growling, mad to somebody, you're not ministering life. We're not. But it is communication. You're sending something. What are you saying? You're like in devotions, you're reading the word, and you're praying, and you're doing all this stuff, and devotions is over, life gets busy, and all of a sudden it's all business, and you're short-tempered, and you've got things to do, and it's important, and why do you have to act like this? And you're a little child, you know, you're communicating. Is it life or death? May the Lord help us to stop and think and pray before we allow things to come out of our mouth. I preach this to myself, first of all. How about condemnation speech? Does Jesus do that to us? Does Jesus, when we fail, does Jesus come with condemnation? Does he come and beat us down and say, why did you do that again? How could you possibly be that dumb again? Why did you sin against me once again? Don't you know that I died on the cross for you? No, Jesus doesn't communicate that way, and I'm thankful for that. That's not how we should communicate with our child. If they fail, they already usually know they fail, and they don't need to hear condemnation. They don't need to hear that the death talk. They need to be just like Jesus told that woman when she was caught in sin and she had an encounter with Jesus and she met the Christ, and whatever happened there, I believe, was a beautiful thing. I think there was a woman that got set free that day, and at the end of that meeting, Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's the kind of meeting that we want to have with our loved ones, isn't it? Another absolutely terrible way of communicating is after a sin has been repented of and made right, to bring it up to them again. You know, I don't believe that God does that to us. In fact, I'm going to get a few scriptures. In Psalm 103, verse 10, says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Wow. As far as the east is from the west, and unless you're a flat earther, you will believe that if you walk east and you keep walking east, you're going to walk east for the rest of your life. That's because the world, you know, most of us believe the world's round, so you're never going to stop. You start walking east, and you're going to walk east until you die. Okay, so as far as the east is from the west, you can't ever get there, right? You're just never, like if I walk east, I'm never going to get to west. I'm just going to, yeah, anyway, you know what I mean. That's how far he removed those transgressions from us. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So do you understand how far he removes those sins from us when we repent of them? They're so far away. He doesn't want to bring them up again. They're brought under the blood. They were taken to the cross. They were nailed there, and you bear them no more. So who are we to bring up these sins to our children or our loved ones and remind them of how bad they were and their life of what they have done? And, you know, on and on. Jesus does not do that, and neither should I. So we don't want to communicate condemnation, bringing up past sins, and growling in anger. Body language is important. You know, what do I communicate when I come and I show up and I meet you? I think this is something that we probably lack in our family, teaching our children how to greet people. Is there a firm handshake or a hug and eye contact and actually pretend, or do we actually mean it, that I love you and that I care? It's a big deal. Sometimes I'm embarrassed how I maybe greet somebody, and then later I think, that was just, you know, you come in, how y'all doing, and, you know, whatever. It's so casual and so not warm. And if I've ever done that to you, I probably have to most of you. I'm sorry, because that is not a warm greeting. But what if we actually look each other in the eye and we actually from our heart care for each other? I think there's life in that. There is really, truly life in that. And body language communicates so much. What do I desire? What do I communicate when I desire to be with you? I think I communicate love. But when I desire to avoid you, I don't think I'm communicating love to you. Years ago, I looked up one of the, like, the root meanings of hate, and one of the definitions in there was to avoid. It kind of struck me. Like, are there people in my life that I just would kind of go out of my way to not come face to face with? We would never say we hate somebody, but do we really try to, you know, go out of our way to avoid somebody? You know, if you're afraid of them, I mean, I understand that possibly. But I do believe that Jesus can redeem that, and he could also do something about that. So when I communicate a desire to be with you, I think that I communicate love and nurture and a relationship desire. I communicate that message to you. When I have no desire to be with you, I think that I communicate very well that I'm okay with not having a relationship. So our priorities speak loudly. If I put other people, you know, back out of my life, if you all gather together here and I tell my children, well, I'm going to stay home and, you know, do whatever, I communicate to them that church life and fellowship and oneness is not important. There are other priorities in my life. And I'm sure that I've done that as well. Children are incredibly smart. And they catch more sometimes than we teach them. I remember one time years ago, I won't say names, but we were not in this church, so you can relax. But we were having stress in the church, and the leader in that said church, my wife and I would speak discreetly about. And we thought we had the children completely fooled, and they wouldn't know how we felt about that certain church leader. And our oldest daughter, she's not in here, so I'll speak about her. She was about this big, and one day she looked up at me and she asked if I do not like that person. What was I going to say? She knew. You might think that you fool your children and how you really feel about somebody and maybe about the church and certain people, but you do not. They catch things like that. That was a very humbling thing for me. And it was also kind of smote my heart because we were teaching that little child that we weren't like, you know, we didn't think we hated them. We just had massive disagreements and, you know, but still the wall was there. There was something there. It was not healthy. So anyway, a child picks up what is a priority to you. If we're too busy to prioritize our children and it's always work and always important, maybe even ministry stuff, you know, if it's always that over the children, if it's always that, they know that. And you're communicating something to them, you know, and children, don't you guys go home and get all over dad and mom for this and say, you know, we need to do more fun stuff. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, we really need our priorities communicate our values. Just that simple. You know, we say things, I say things like, well, I'm really too busy right now. I'd like to go do this ministry or that ministry. I'd like to go to Mongolia, but I'm too busy, Josh. You know, I know. And I'm too busy and I've got all this going on. It's really what I prioritize. It really is. You know, and so I understand sometimes there's bills to pay and people have to, you know there's not enough money at the end of the month and you struggle and, you know, you feel like you got to do that. But, you know, priorities, they matter. And we teach priorities to our children. We show our priorities. We communicate our values by the life we live. And this is where we're speaking communication, not saying a word. But we show. We have to be intentional. Even our wives and our husbands, you know, how intentionally are we to give them quality time? The love language that we know they have, how intentional are we with that? What are we communicating? If we don't ever even bother finding out their love language, number one, we're communicating, we got other more important things to do. And if we know our love language, we never act on it. We're also communicating there's more important things in our life. So communication in this is huge. We have to communicate respect to each other. And I would just like to say this. And maybe some of you doubt that I believe this, but I believe this with all my heart. I believe that in God's kingdom, in God's house, there is not one of us that is under the blood of Jesus that is more valued than another. Not a single one. When you come to the foot of the cross, the playing field is extremely level, and every single one of the blood bought is the same value. Jesus died for me and you and every one of us the same equal value. He didn't say, well, I'm going to die a little bit more for this person. Nope, if you were resurrected today with Jesus, you are all of the same value, and we all deserve the same respect. I struggle sometimes, and I know this is human nature, but sometimes somebody that might be a little more quiet, and as children, I think it's especially with you, sometimes the loudest, the biggest, or whatever can come across. You try to dominate, and you will not listen. I think it's important that, I know sometimes when I was smaller, I don't know. I mean, some things just stood out to me whenever. I think I shared this with one of you guys, but I remember raised an Amish lad. When we went from a little boy to a bigger boy, we got a bigger hat. And I remember the first day that I got the big hat, and I was so proud of that. It was a lot more fancy and had some little things up there. And I went and got this big hat. I was probably about 11 years old. And I go over to my brother-in-law's to help with the fence, and his brother was there. And I'm not mad at him for this. I think it's really silly. But I was a little boy. I was super proud. And he looks at me, and he goes, there's the hat, but where's the little boy? In other words, the hat was so big, he pretended he couldn't see me. You know what? That stood out to me. It was communication. Instead, I hurt my little heart, honestly, because I was really proud of graduating to the next level, and then I was made fun of. So those are ways that we can communicate to each other that are not life-giving. That didn't hurt me. I'm not scarred for it, but, you know, it's just a silly memory that I have. You might think that you can burn a youngster and think that it's okay, and you might really be hurting their little heart. So be careful with that kind of communication. Disrespect. That is one way. Disrespect, like wives, you know, us husbands were made with a need for respect. That's just our get up. That's who we are. Like, there's probably nothing worse for a man than to be disrespected in public by his wife. And maybe even in private, but especially in public. Yep, he's called to love you, and maybe you're struggling with the respect because you don't feel loved, and then you disrespect him, and you know what? You just make it so much harder for him to really pour out his love because you've disrespected him. But your husband has a built-in need. It's how God made him. Don't be mad at him for it. But he's got a built-in need to be respected. That's just how God made us. And that's why he put that order in his word. But it's very, very serious communication that is lacking when you disrespect him, especially when you belittle him or mock him or scorn him in public. It's really, 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 you're not going to see good fruit come of that. It just does not work. I don't know a man that says, yeah, my wife disrespected me, but it's all good. I don't know if I've ever heard a man say that. Same way with children. Honor your father and mother. Respect them. The Word of God says that, it says in Ephesians 6, to honor father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That honor is a way that you communicate what you think of your parents. When you honor them, you are communicating to your friends and to your loved ones and to your parents that you respect them. You're communicating that you think highly of your mother and father. There is honor in that. So even though you may have a serious disagreement with your parents, honor them for who they are. Sadly, I know that so many times communication comes from a place of pain. Jesus told us in Matthew 15:18, but these things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Right? So what is coming out? What is coming out of our heart? Like, what is it that we're speaking from? Is it a source of pain, inner agony, things that are there because of circumstances and things that happen in your life, and you find it hard to say anything, much less nice things, because you're hurting? I understand that, and I have empathy for that. But so much wrong communication comes because of the condition of our heart, a hurting, insecure heart. And when that pain and insecurity is allowed to speak what it thinks, the communication isn't life-giving, is it? So what should a person do? Don't stop. Don't give up. Your heart may be wounded. It may be hurting. You may feel misunderstood. You may feel left behind. You may feel disrespected. You may feel dishonored. But God has a plan for your life. Do not ever give up and allow bitterness to settle in there, because that's the plan of the enemy. Never give up. Never give up on a relationship. Never say, I've been hurt enough. I'm done. I'm going to circle the wagons. I'm going to believe what I believe. And if people love me, fine. If they don't, that's fine too. Don't think that. God has a body here. We are called to work together. He does not want any of us to so-called circle the wagons or close off a portion of our heart and just say, I'm done. I'm done with these people. I'm finished. This is not God thoughts. This is not life-giving communication. Your communication is coming from the wrong source if you start thinking that way. Every relationship family of God is worth pursuing. Satan is the one who discourages, who convinces us that to further pursue relationships is a waste of time. May the Lord help us to communicate freely. May we learn to greet each other with joy and love and peace. May we learn to regard everyone, no matter who they are, with respect. Like I said, there's no varying levels of importance in the body of Christ. We can clearly communicate our love to all. In 1 Samuel 3:11, God was going to do something. And it was a verse that kind of stood out to me. And it says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. God's going to do something there. And I don't necessarily think that God meant that this tingle was going to be a good tingle. But what he meant was that he was going to do something that was going to get the attention of the people. And their ears were going to tingle when he got their attention. I think that we should be more as a church, that we should be more interested in pursuing relationship and communicating things so where our ears tingle in a good way, that we actually can feel and know and understand and feel loved. And really, there's life-giving that comes from this. God was going to do that to get the attention of his people, and I'm not going to go there and explain the whole context of that, but I wanted to just get out of there. God said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to have both ears of the people are going to tingle when I do this. So what are we doing to communicate light and love? What is going on when you see me or you see your brother or you see your neighbor? What is going on? What is the attention that is happening as a result of your presence? Is it life-giving? Are you communicating at all? Is it poor communication? Does it give life? May it start in the house of the Lord and radiate out from there. I'd like to talk about a communication that our Father in heaven had for us. And I don't know if there's people here today that God would like to see saved. Maybe God is calling you and saying, today it is time. But I'm going to read in John 3, very familiar scripture. We're going to start in verse 14. And it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So y'all know what happened in the wilderness when the people, what did they do there? Did they grumble? Yeah, they grumbled. And so the serpents, the snakes came and they were being bitten to death by the thousands. And God said, put a serpent up and anybody that looks at that serpent can be healed. And that's what they did. And so he lifted that serpent up as a forerunner or as a likeness of what was going to come. New covenant, Jesus. And so that serpent is no more. We are now in the new covenant. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Do we lift up Jesus to a lost and dying world? Does our communication in who we are as Christians, as Christ followers, is it sending a message to a lost and dying world that I love Jesus and that he is working out his power in my life? But we're going on. I wanted to tell you what God, how he communicated his great love toward us. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you get that? For God so loved the world. That was his communication of love to us. The most amazing communication of love ever in history of mankind. And he goes on and he said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Such a beautiful communication of love. If you're here today and you have never made that choice personal, you've never received Christ as your Savior, I would invite you now or at the end of the service to make that choice. To say, I want to be a partaker and a receiver of the love that God has for me, that he's extended to us. I want to be a part of that. I want to make that personal. So God tells us in his word about his great love, but he also physically, an act of love physically that Jesus did was to go to that cross and take our sins and nail them there. A physical act, a communication of love in the most powerful sense. It was ugly, it was bloody, it was painful, but it was real, and it happened. It was a communication of love to you and I. This communicated in a real, an actual, physical, and amazing way his willingness to love us, to set us free. As Jesus gave his life, are you and I, as children of the living God, willing to lay down our life in a communication of love to one another? Are we willing to make a commitment like that to one another? That I'm willing to lay down my life. You're willing to give your lives for the brethren, for your family, for your neighbor. You're willing to lay down your right to be right. Your right to always win the argument. You're right. Are you willing to lay that down in a communication of love? Are we willing to die to self to see relationships restored? Beloved, I believe that it's a time in our life. It's a time in our generation. I don't know if y'all watched the news last night, but it could be scary if we believe in walking in fear. But It's kind of crazy. Iran was flinging all kind of stuff over to Israel, and people are afraid we're going to get into World War III. I don't worry about stuff like that. I don't believe in putting my head in the sand. But on the other hand, I know that there's a God who's in control. But we live in a time when the children of God need to be awake. We need to be united in love. We need to be united in power. We need to be lights of the world in a dark generation. We don't know what's ahead. Our luxurious, easy lifestyle in America could come to an end. We don't know. But we know the end because it's written here. We know the promise. But we need to be alive. We need to be awake. And we are in a generation where we communicate the love of God to one another and to a lost and dying world. Maybe it's time for us to put down the constant nagging. It's time to realize that we need every single one of us are of equal importance. There's no ranking in the church of God. We're not in difference in importance to God, and neither each other by our upbringing, by our title, by how much money we have, how much property we have, who we are in the church, all of them. None of that matters. When he nailed your sin to the cross and you accepted that, you are wonderful and beautiful and wanted in the kingdom of God. May the Lord help us to treat each other that way. Do we dare to speak life? Do we dare to lay down our opinions of others? That guy's marriage failed. How can I think well of him? You need to give that thought up. That guy that's marriage failed is just as precious as you are. You're like, that woman, she doesn't really respect her husband. How am I supposed to love her? You know what? She's just as precious in God's eyes that you are. You're like, but that person in the youth volleyball is terrible. And really, it's better if they don't even come to the game. You need to get over that. But you know what? They always say such dumb stuff. Really? How about you communicate life? Lay down your life for each other. And again, I'm not here yelling at you. I tell you what, I needed this message more than you all. The last verses that I want to share with you again are very familiar scriptures in John. John, let's see, 13. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Do we understand the calling that God has on our life? Again, I understand the pain that some of you may have right now. I understand the feelings of rejection, the things that we've went through, they're hard. But I also hope that you understand the love that God has for you. You do not have in you the power that Jesus has for you, but he can put that there if you're willing to surrender the entire part of your heart, that hidden room, that part that you're guarding against anybody ever coming in close to. If you're willing to give that up, Jesus will do something there. Because it's in his power that we stand. It's in his power that are we willing to be that? Is this church willing to be? Are we willing to be fools for Christ? Are we willing to be those shining lights in a dark generation? Are we willing to take a stand for Jesus and be that light? Youth, are you willing to be even the one that maybe you have the least regard for in your youth group to go out of your way to love on them, to do something special with them? I know how irritating. You know, sometimes the older people think that the younger ones can be irritating, and they're 15, and they're, no problem, Lori, I know your love, but there's things that you can kind of get an attitude. Are you willing to lay down those things, and you can simply love on them and tell them how special they are? These are big deals. You know what? If you don't practice this when you're young, and you have attitudes at certain people, and you kind of disregard them, and you belittle them, And you do that, you're younger, you'll probably take that into your life older. Don't do that. My heart today is to is that God would teach us to clearly communicate the importance and the value that each one of us has. And in doing that, there's a name that we will lift, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I'm going to say a prayer for us. I'm going to ask you all to stand. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm also going to bless the food, Dennis, if that's all right. I'm just going to finish the service. I'm going to bless the food, and if you're visitors here, we really want you to go through and eat first. And after I pray, I'm going to ask Ryan to play a song, and during that song, I want you to do something. Maybe you've not talked to Jesus, and you've not communicated if you want to pray, but if you have never went to somebody and told them something about them that you appreciate, I would love it if you would do that today. Maybe it's your husband right beside you. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your father. Whoever it is, I want you, when we stand and that song's playing, I want you to tell somebody somewhere in this room, if you can. I'm not whipping you to do something. I'm not forcing you. Maybe all you want to do is put your head down and communicate with Jesus. But I would like you to tell somebody, maybe there's something in here that says, I need to forgive. I need to lay that down. Maybe God will bring something to our minds that says, you mistreated them, or you said things that hurt. You put pain in that person's life. If God speaks to you, I want you to do that. Maybe all you're going to do is tell them you love and appreciate them. That's okay. But we're going to pray, and then we're going to have a song. If you would stand together with me, we'll pray together, and then we're going to have a song. And if God can move your heart to do that, that's great. Maybe it's your